from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're going to go to the fan hotline right now, talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey. And, of course, Jason is a columnist who does a little bit of everything, but, of course, we've been talking a lot of baseball, which was most recently his domain. Jason, it's always an interesting 24 to 48 hours before the trade deadline when you're a Pirates fan, because
no, really,
the reality, the what we had hoped was going to happen generally sort of turns into the reality of what's going to happen. So, based on your experience and whatnot, what are we likely to see in the next, let's do the math again. It's 28 and a half, maybe 28 hours and 45 minutes or something.
All right. We're likely to see a lot of consternation, weird stuff pop up, Paul. There's probably going to be an insane rumor here at some point. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I just mean, like, everyone that I've seen, there's been some, you know, we're all asked about some weird occurrence. That wouldn't shock me. When it comes down to it, I mean, I still believe they're going to do something. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, top of the line person, players, that sort of thing. And I do think it's possible to have players going out and players coming in. I still think the most logical target where they're going to go if they bring guys in would be an outfielder, a bat, you know, somebody they have around for multiple years. And going out, I still think you have some guys who really haven't added much to this. The teams could covet, you know, Michael A. Taylor. Maybe somebody uses him for his defense. I don't think Grandal can really give anything going out. Maybe one of the veteran lefties, Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez. I'm not totally sure. But, it's going to be a wild whatever count that was, 29 hours. I'm ready for it to be here and be gone. I wish they would do something and honor the sentiment that fans have put out there, that the team has put out there. But, you know, there are always going to be those questions until they do it.
Well, like I say, one of the things that's very frustrating for someone like me is the fact that there's this idea that if you suggest the Pirates should do something and need to get better, that you're suggesting they go out and sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or some big move like that.
Yes.
Like, my thing is, could we get somebody that's better than what I call the black hole of outfielders, not named Brian Reynolds?
Yes.
I don't think that's a big ask, is it, Jason? I mean, hey, I haven't looked at Taylor Ward. Yeah, he hasn't hit in the last few weeks, but he has 16 home runs, and his numbers, you know, compared to most of the guys that Shelton has to run out there every day in the outfield, he's Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, you're right. I agree with you and what you're saying. Like, it seems like there's zero and there's 60 in the minds of Pirates fans. There's either like absolutely terrible or they're going to go get the best player on the market. Like, there's a middle ground here. I mean, frankly, I think they let one get away in Jesse Winker. He would have been a perfect middle ground candidate. Like, some pop from the left side, didn't cost all that much. The Mets got him for their 17th ranked prospect. I mean, that's tough. But yeah, I look at the black hole of outfielders, the Bermuda Triangle of outfielders, whatever you want to call it. Like, they don't get enough offense from their outfield. That's a very obvious and true statement. And can they improve that? Yes. Right. And should it be incumbent on them to improve that? Yes. And a lot of people like to react. This might surprise you too. A lot of people like to react to what the Pirates have done before they've actually done it. I think they deserve to get to the deadline. And right. Then we'll make judgments based on what they do or what they don't do.
Right. But I would just tell you this. I think if you look at where they're at, I mean, they're not that far. Like, to me, if they would add one more bullpen arm, which I think you could get, you know, depending on what you could get it probably without giving a whole lot back, and one more outfielder. Boy, you know, I think Jared Jones gets healthy for the stretch. Then you've got, you know, Nick Gonzalez. It looks like he might be out for a few weeks or whatever, but still, he gets healthy for the stretch. I think, you know, you're all of a sudden talking about, I mean, because Jason, the other part of it is, I think 85 or 86 wins gets you a wild card.
It does.
They're not that far.
I know. And here's the other thing that I keep coming. This is sort of building on what you're saying, which I agree with. It's okay if you overpay sometimes because you have an opportunity. Like, that is the system. That is the trade deadline. You look at other teams. Like, you think the Penguins paid whenever they did stuff at the trade deadline, like Jim Rutherford's going for it or gambling. I'm not saying everything worked out. But I'm saying if you have a need, you're going to give up a lot to get it because you want to address that need. Like, Derek Brassard stunk as a third-line center. But you know what? The process was sound. The Penguins gave a lot because they had a need there. And so, I mean, you look at the Pirates, they have a need in the outfield. If you have to give something to address that need, that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to grow prospects, have prospects. They've done that part. Now you just need the actual execution of the trade. Why you can't give to get, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You raise a great point. There's this idea that, well, you know, look at the Chris Archer trade. It just didn't work out. You bring up Derek Brassard. Look at that trade. It just didn't bring. And there's trades that don't work out. But guess what? That doesn't mean you never make trades.
Right.
There's no guarantee in life. I mean, they could trade for Ohtani, and you know what? He could tear his hamstring running down to first base. It is what it is.
It drives me crazy. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say I always maintain the whole thing with the Chris Archer trade. Nobody would be talking about Baz or Tyler Glasnow or even Austin Meadows, wherever the hell he's at, right? Nobody would be even talking about that if Chris Archer just came and pitched well. It's not about the guys that are leaving. It's do you get the right guy coming back, and you only know that if you bring him here and see what he does.
Absolutely agree with you, man. I mean, that's that Archer stunk and then became injury riddled. That turned up the volume on that whole trade. Now, it was a perfect storm of ugliness. Right? Because they never developed Glasnow. They never developed Meadows. Boswood was an insane player to be named later. Like, everything that could have been associated with that trade was wrong. But the idea that you're trading three good players for one good player who's ready now, like, that happens all the time, you know? And you need to make that trade both ways. Like, sometimes the Pirates are going to have to sell off a good player because maybe they have somebody younger and cheaper coming up, and then you need to execute it and get three good prospects back.
Right.
Good organizations do that. So given where they're at, I have absolutely no issue giving up players to get something. And it makes me nuts, Paul, sorry to go on this rant, but like, that everything has to be numerically, metrically, analytically equal all the time. Like, sometimes it's just not. Sometimes you are a professional sports franchise and you need to operate out of a sense of emotion because that's what your fans are looking at. And when you have a situation to try and go for it, you owe that to them. And so I'm not saying they're not going to do anything. I still think they're going to do something. I just remember that, you know, that you're allowed to overpay at times too.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing that you have to at sometimes. And there, you know, there are people that, if the Pirates have to throw in one more guy, you know, their number 19 prospect or something. What's this guy's name?
Something
Delgado. Is there a guy named Delgado, I think, in their system who's – I looked it up the other day.
He's there like, might be. It wouldn't be prohibitive on a trade for me.
He's like 19th or 20th or something on their list or 22nd or whatever. I'm like, if you're going to tell me that okay, we throw him in and you makes the deal, then you throw him in. And so, you know, nevertheless, I mean, you've covered these trade deadlines. It's really frustrating, isn't it? I mean, just because there's so much.
You're chasing ghosts. You're chasing ghosts.
And there's so much thrown out there that's mostly coming from sources who are, let's just say, have an agenda, whether it's agents, you know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, what my favorite thing, and Jason, you've covered sports long enough to know this. My favorite thing is when the actual organization, right? Who doesn't want to tell you anything.
When they do what?
And they don't ever want to tell you anything. They can't, you know, it's like pulling teeth to figure out if something that's been reported for the last 24 hours is actually true or not. They don't want, but when they want something out there, it's amazing how all of a sudden, you know what I mean? They leak something to you. Hey, or you write something that they don't want out there. Then all of a sudden they remember what your phone number is.
Yep. They got you then. I was joking with somebody that I should rip them just to you know, have some conversations that I haven't had in a while. I didn't do that, but I mean, and that's not just the Pirates, right? Like, that happens with the Penguins. It happens with every organization. I mean, you're all of a sudden critical around this time of year. Stuff gets out there. You're sifting through junk. I frankly don't love it. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion because at this point, like, if you're a beat writer, you should be wallowing in this, and it's a great opportunity to write stuff and find things out and break stories for us. It's a great opportunity to weigh in on stuff, to rip it, to praise it, whatever. But to me, it just results in a lot of silly stuff that I'll be happy when sort of the water finds its level that later this week. And honestly, Paul, I mean, I hope they do something to set themselves up for the rest of the season. It's a better sports market when the Pirates are competitive and close to something. I don't want to see them go in the tank because they address this poorly.
Right. And I think that's the biggest thing is, I do believe there's at least one deal coming. Would you agree with that?
Yes, at least.
Right.
I think there's going to be multiple. I think there's going to be multiple both ways.
Yes. I mean, it's really important to note that. I think that really, when it comes to, the Pirates, we have to wait till the actual deals happen. The other question I have for you, Jason, is this. Have they waited too long? Like, every game they lose and every game, I mean, it's been so precious, and there's so little, there's so little that is out there that I would tell you, in terms of every win matters. I mean, if they waited 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks, if they did it 2.5, 3 weeks ago, maybe it's one or two more wins. Have they waited too long?
I don't know. I think it depends on what they do, Paul. I mean, if they come out of here with, let's say the A's all of a sudden want to trade Brent Rooker and the Pirates wind up with them, then no, they didn't wait too long. If this deadline comes and passes and they don't acquire anything and they just lose a couple bit part players, then yeah, I would argue that they did. They have a glaring need in the outfield, or I should say a bat, period. I mean, if you put him at second base, if that's your big ad because Nick Gonzalez is out, I would be fine with that. They need at least a bat. I don't think anybody can look at this offense and say it's good enough. I think that's a fair concern. I look at some of the guys that are off the board, and they would have helped them. I brought up Jesse Winker before. I know there are varying opinions on Jazz Chisholm, but you know what? Jazz Chisholm is a heck of a lot better offensively than the guys they're running out there now. So, yeah, I think it's fair to look at it and say that they've waited too long. I guess clashing with that a little bit is they've actually played some of their better baseball over the past couple of weeks. So, I mean, I can't say that waiting really affected their performance. I look at the Pirates this whole season and think that they've probably handed away 6, 7, 8 games that they should have won. And if you can imagine, like, just hit a little bit when your starter pitches into the ninth inning. You know, maybe make some better fundamental plays. Have the offense just be a little bit more consistent. Like, it wouldn't be hard to scratch together 6, 7, or 8 wins, and then they're in a completely different situation.
Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, this is going to be very interesting to see what happens here in the next, now we're down to, what, 27 and a half hours or whatever. And I think, Jason, it's incumbent upon the Pirates to make sure that they do everything in their power to at least help this team this year. I get nervous when I read a quote from Ben Cherington where he basically says, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, what's the texter's name that loses his mind and gives us a hard time? Cowboy or something like that? What's this guy's name?
George and Plum is one. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of different texters that text in.
So I'm paraphrasing out there. I'm not direct quote, so please don't. But he.
Oh, he gets mad if you don't quote Ben Ryan directly?
Ryan and Gibsonia, maybe?
No, he gets, like, for instance, Joe made mention of somebody who was saying.
Oh, are you talking about Grizzly Adams?
Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, Grizzly Adams.
Joe made mad. Joe, what was it? Like, Joe made mention of somebody who was, like, a third-round pick, and Joe said, oh, yeah, he's a second or fourth-round pick or whatever. Some, like, minor detail that, you know what I mean? And Grizzly Adams loses his mind and goes crazy if you don't get it exactly right, you know? So I wanted to clarify. So we've gotten to clarifying that, hey, okay, I'm paraphrasing now, but he said something to the effect of, we have to do what's best for the Pirates, not for one specific year. Meaning, we're not going to make a deal just to try and get better for this year. And I think that is the wrong approach this year. 2 years ago, okay. 3 years ago, okay. But this year, and then you see, and I said this earlier, you see on Sunday, a guy like Jared Triolo, you know, busting his ass to make a diving catch in a position he's never played. You know, Grandal, for all the bad he's done, right? He made 3 really good plays at first base yesterday to try and win the game. You know, Rowdy Tellez with his you know, his fracture or whatever he has in his hand, you know, saying, yeah, give me the bat. I'm going up there. I mean, this team, these guys, they're gritty. They want to win. Why not give them the help?
I'm with you. And here, let me take that a step further, Paul. What Cherington is saying, I think, in part of that quote, is that they want to look for guys with multiple years of club control. And if you're the Pirates, that makes sense. Good on them. I get that. You want to use this time. You're going to trade something. We're going to have assets go into the middle of the table, and we want to get something back from that, and we want that player to stick with us. We don't want to do all this stuff just to have a half-year rental. That's right. Fine. I get that. I respect that. Nothing wrong there. It also doesn't have to be any one way. Like, you might be able to make a deal for a bat who's going to be around a little while. You might be able to trade a middling a mid 30 ranked prospect or something like that for a rental bat. That's good too. I mean, you need more than one thing. You can do multiple things. So, like, I understand what Cherington is saying, but I'm sorry. Like, somebody needs to sort of read the room here within the Pirates organization and say, like, look at what the team has done. Look at what the fan base has done to support that. Do we really think that being this close, having the opportunity we have in front of us, and then to just not do anything, period, at the deadline is the right move? Right. And I don't know how anybody can look at that and say that's the right move. Like, you've got to do something.
No, I would agree. And I think these guys want to win for real. And that would be, you know, what happens. If they don't, like you said, it'd be interesting to see what would happen. And it's a different sport, but if you remember the Jake Gensel trade, I mean, the Penguins would have made the playoffs had it not been for them basically pouting for 3 or 4 games after the Jake Gensel trade. And they went 0-4 or 0-5 or whatever it was in that stretch. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, the guy we got back, he ain't bad. Let's go. If they just would have said, But it goes to show you how you can take the wind out of the sails at the trade deadline of a locker room, and the Pirates can't afford this. You know, if they make no deal and the Pirates, you know, go into a little funk for 3 or 4 games, they really can't afford that, you know?
No. I mean, there's like 7 teams in it right now in the National League wildcard race. I mean, you can't afford it, and they don't deserve that.
No.
You know, like, this is a really good, likable team. And I mean that, like, these guys go about their business the right way. They're not world beaters. I'm not saying they're going to win 98 games or anything insane. What I'm saying is they've done a pretty good job of playing baseball this season, and they need some help. And this offense is a piece or two short. They've had things that haven't worked out. Guys have underperformed, et cetera. The guys who are there, and you know, I'm talking Brian Reynolds, Paul Skeens, Mitch Keller, Nick Gonzalez until he got hurt, whatever, O'Neal Cruz even. Like they've had pretty decent productive seasons. I think people can look at this team and see that they could maybe be kind of dangerous down the stretch in the playoffs, that sort of thing. But yes, you need offensive help. And this is the way to do it. I think there are players out there who can help them. It's just you have to, as we've been saying over and over again, you have to be comfortable giving up a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's really, I mean, that's the thing. You also have spent some time at training camp, so we might as well get into that a little bit here before we let you go. I know, I assume you weren't pushing a blocking sled and hurt yourself as you were going up there, so you were able to. You know, you're able to actually do your job, unlike...
Paul, come on.
Unlike
what are we doing
Yeah,
here?
Unlike the quarterback, right? I don't know. Is there any reason at all to be a little bit concerned about what's going on there?
I'd be concerned about why the heck the quarterback's pushing a blocking sled. That's the question I'm going to be asking. I'm not asking any questions about, is Russell Wilson going to be ready for the opener? Russell Wilson's going to take part in stuff tomorrow. Mike Tomlin said he's going to be taking snaps in team periods. I mean, we've watched Russ the past couple days throw after practice to guys. I mean, chucking it 30, 40 yards downfield. I have no problem with that. He's moving around just fine. Again, if this was a padded practice, if this was something a little bit more serious, I absolutely think he'd be in there. So no concern whatsoever about that. But, you know, it's maybe underplayed, under-asked, under-talked about. I don't know. I mean, why your 35-year-old quarterback is pushing a blocking sled? Can't come up with a good reason for that one.
No. I hope that, to be honest, the only thing I would say, Jason, I would have no concern at all if he were on the team last year and played in the offense and all that other stuff. But I would think with a brand new quarterback, a brand new offense, a brand new, you know, everything is new up there. You kind of want him to have as many opportunities to have reps with these guys as he can, don't you?
I get that side of it, Paul. I mean, and if he was like not around, not doing anything, not talking to anybody, I suppose that would be an issue. But I mean, he's in the huddle. I hate the term mental reps. It's just something that makes me nuts about sports today. But like, he is getting mental reps. He's there late after practice, working with guys, talking through things. I just think you get to a point, and Ben Roethlisberger was there too. I mean, you don't need the physical side of this as much. You know what you're doing. I mean, he's building a relationship with guys. I think there's going to be plenty of time for him to get used to stuff. He had mini camp, OTAs, all that. I mean, if anything, I think there's a blessing in disguise here with Justin Fields getting a lot of opportunity to run with the ones. I'd love to look at this optimistically and think Russell Wilson's going to be your wire-to-wire starter, but I certainly understand maybe having a dissenting opinion and thinking that, well, he's going to be washed. He's terrible. Justin Fields is going to be the guy. I don't know, but this time will be beneficial for Justin Fields. I know that.
Yeah, I would say that is true. That helps him. Any other interesting observations for you while you were up there?
The Pickens stuff, I think, is interesting. How, you know, we're making a big deal out of George Pickens yelling back and forth with the coach. I kind of like it, to be honest with you. Like, that's, to me, that's football. This is the time to do it. You know, if this persists, if George Pickens, like, you know, doesn't rein it in, or there becomes a contentious relationship every other day, I guess that's an issue, but I kind of liked it. It happened. And then on Saturday, I was up there watching Zach Azani and Pickens have several just perfectly comfortable and normal conversations. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you have to do something to get through to him. And I don't think being mild mannered is it.
No, for sure. Well, I think the other thing is, I mean, you're in a locker room with a bunch of guys, football guys and football players nowadays. These things probably happen all the time. Like, don't you think that these things happen all the time? Coaches and players aren't going to see eye to eye. It's how do you work through it? And I think that's the most important thing. And it seems like they worked through it. So we shall see. Anyway, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. And we will obviously do it again soon, I'm sure, because I'm thinking there's going to be Pirate news in the next 26 hours. Here's the other thing. You know, the other thing that I think people are discounting, it wouldn't shock me if they also offload somebody like Martin Perez.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I think that's highly likely, Paul.
Yeah. And actually, for the right deal, Aroldis Chapman. I mean,
I'm with you.
If you bring in, you know, if you save it between Perez and Chapman, you probably are saving about, I don't know, $8 million or somewhere in the neighborhood, somewhere like that. And then you can, you know, and then you can go bring in one of these other guys, right, that you're talking about if salary is an issue.
And frankly, like, if you look at the way they're going to appropriate dollars, and with the Pirates, you always have to do that. Wouldn't you rather spend, you know, trade those guys and take that money and have it spent on a bat? I know it would be best if you just spent more and, you know, kept those guys right. And spent on a bat. But, right. Like, it kind of doesn't work that way with them. So, yeah, I think about that, too.
Jason, thank you so much, sir.
All right, guys, take care. Have a good one. Thanks for having me. Right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We'll see ya. I have no idea what this is about. No idea.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, Paul.
I mean,
Quinn Priester for Nick York. He's the 6th ranked prospect according to MLB Pipeline in the Red Sox system. And here's a little fascinating tidbit for you when I was researching during the break. York this season in the minor leagues has played 27 games in the outfield in left field. So is this going to be the guy? And he's not made his major league debut yet. Is he going to be the guy that ends up replacing Jack Sawinski, who was just demoted to AAA? And is he called up right away and makes his major league debut in Houston tomorrow?
If he's the second baseman, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he could be the second baseman that replaces Nick Gonzalez. Exactly,
for a while, whatever.
And when Gonzalez comes back, maybe they put him in the outfield.
I could see this happening. Meanwhile, the Cardinals just got Eric Fetty.
Yeah.
So
they were talking about him for... The last couple of hours is a rumored potential trade that was going to happen.
I just
decent arm.
The other thing is, could they be? Is this giving them too much credit? Could they be getting? Could they be making this deal to give themselves somebody another trade chip?
To what, trade York?
Yeah,
possibly.
We'll see.
It also fits a need for the moment.
Although I would think Priester would probably still have more value than York, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they dealt Priester just for a straight-up trade like this.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions, sunchevy.com. High of 87 today. Sunny skies. City Limits, we'll do it again tomorrow. Hopefully Joe will be back in the mix. If it's not, it'll be you and I. We'll do the Shelty Show together.
Let's do it.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Talk to you tomorrow. Breaking news, the Pirates make their first deal of the deadline. Right-handed starter Quinn Priester has been traded to the Boston Red Sox and acquired back to the Pirates Nick York, the second baseman, who's a 2020 first-round draft pick of the Red Sox. 17th overall. York is hitting .310 in the minor leagues, and he's also played 27 games in left field this season between AA and AAA. He's regarded as the sixth best prospect in the Red Sox system and is slashing .310, .408, and .490 this season. Morton 93.7thefan.com. Headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville. Now open. The trade deadline is tomorrow at 6 p.m.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.